Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're looking closely at episode 57 from the Military Tales YouTube channel. The title is The Secret War Unveiled, Sesso Aufsaug Support and Prairie Fire Missions.
That's right.
We're aiming to pull out the key insights from that presentation, really get a handle on what Special Operations Forces support, and specifically those Prairie Fire Missions were like during the Southeast Asia War.
It's a really complex piece of history, this one, and, you know, often overlooked. To really get it, we probably need to touch on the backdrop first, the 1954 Geneva Peace Accords.
Right, the ones meant to keep the peace and ensure Laos stayed neutral.
Yeah, which, well, it didn't quite work out that way. North Vietnam kept operating there, using Laos essentially as a highway south via the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Exactly, and that trail wasn't exactly an easy place to operate. We're talking dense jungle, hardly any roads, and a constant enemy threat, right? Including serious air defenses.
Absolutely. Plus, the whole U.S. involvement had to be kept under wraps because of those Geneva Accords. That secrecy is like a fundamental part of the story from episode 57.
Okay, so the episode covers a few different angles.
Yeah, it looks at the air war against the trail, then the Special Forces ground missions, the prairie fire stuff, and also the close air support, like from the 6th Special Operations Squadron.
Gotcha. So where should we start? Maybe the trail itself. Episode 57 gave some pretty big numbers.
Let's do that. It really was a massive undertaking. The main trail, maybe 625 miles, but the whole network, something like 12,000 miles of parallel roads and paths.
12,000, wow.
And it wasn't just random paths. It was organized into these segments called Bintram.
Bintram. What did that involve?
Basically, each segment, maybe 10 or 15 miles long, had its own dedicated North Vietnamese unit. They handled maintenance, security, keeping traffic flowing.
Yeah.
It was a proper logistical system.
And the amount of traffic, episode 57 mentioned.
Yeah.
What was it? Thousands of trucks a night.
The estimate in the episode is around 3,000 trucks nightly heading south. And over the whole war, maybe 2 million troops used it, 45 million tons of supplies. Just incredible volume.
How did they possibly keep that moving with the threat of air attack? Episode 57 touched on their tactics.
Right? Oh, yeah. Key thing was moving almost entirely at night. During the day, total concealment. They had these spider holes, individual camouflage shelters.
Right, I remember that bit.
And even built ramps right into the trail to drive trucks undercover. Plus, constant repair. Bombs hit. They fixed it fast. And they had this kind of low-tech but effective warning system.
The lights along the trail.
Yeah, monitored by radio operators. If planes were coming, they'd flash warnings, trucks would stop, drivers would bail out and hide. Made bombing less effective sometimes.
So faced with this massive resilient network, what was the U.S. air response according to episode 57?
Well, since ground troops in Laos were politically off limits for large-scale interdiction, the U.S. relied heavily on air power. I mean, heavily. Laos became the most bombed place on Earth, over 4 million tons of ordnance.
4 million tons.
Yeah. The strategy was hitting choke points, narrow passes, key junctions. They had code names like Box Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. The Mugia Pass was a really infamous one.
But episode 57 makes a point about effectiveness, doesn't it? All that bombing. Did it work?
Well, it made flying incredibly dangerous for U.S. air crews. Intense anti-aircraft fire, SAMs later on. But did it stop the trail? No.
Yeah.
Not really. The North Vietnamese just concentrated their defenses and kept repairing. The episode argues pretty clearly that bombing alone wasn't the answer.
Which leads to needing boots on the ground.
Exactly. And that brings us to the Studies and Observations Group, SOG. Clandestine operations.
So what was SOG's specific job regarding the trail, as laid out in episode 57?
Primarily intelligence gathering, sending small teams deep into enemy territory to see what was actually moving down the trail, where, how many. That intel was gold for targeting airstrikes and, you know, just understanding the enemy's capabilities. Prairie fire missions were a huge part of that.
Okay, prairie fire. Episode 57 describes these teams.
Yeah.
They were small.
Very small. Usually a few U.S. Special Forces guys, the episode calls them the big people. Paired with indigenous allies, often Montagnards, the little people.
That partnership sounds crucial.
Absolutely essential. The local knowledge, the jungle skills, invaluable. But the challenges were immense.
Like seeing anything in that jungle. Episode 57 mentioned the triple canopy.
Right, near zero visibility from above. And even on the ground, movement was tough, observation difficult. Plus, the constant risk of running into the enemy. So SOG got innovative.
The sensors. Step up.
Yeah, seismic sensors. They dropped these things along suspected routes, and they'd pick up vibrations from trucks.
How do they get the data back?
That's where the Q-22B aircraft came in, according to episode 57. It was meant to be a drone, but ended up being manned. It flew orbits, picked up the sensor signals, and relayed them back to Task Force Alpha at NKP.
NKP, knock on Phenom. That was the main base for this.
It was a major hub, yeah. Task Force Alpha analyzed the sensor data there, figured out targets, and NKP was also home to Heavy Hook.
Heavy Hook. What's that?
That was Mobile Launch Team 3. They were the ones responsible for actually getting the Perry fire teams in and out. Super dangerous job.
And coordinating all this needed specialized air controllers.
Yeah.
The Cubby FACs.
Exactly. Air Force pilots, usually experienced FACs, handpicked to work directly with SOG. They'd often fly with a special forces guy, a Cubby rider, in the back seat, literally scouting for safe landing zones.
Wow. So a typical Prairie fire mission, based on episode 57, what did that look like?
Usually, CH-53 helicopters would fly the team deep into Laos, escorted by A-1 Sky Raiders laying down cover fire if needed.
Big helos, propeller planes.
Yeah. And the thing was, everyone knew going in that the odds of needing an emergency extraction, a SAR mission, were incredibly high. It was almost expected. Episode 57 also mentions they lost a lot of OV-10s, the FAC aircraft, on these missions. Really shows the risk.
Okay, let's shift to that close air support angle. The 6th SOS, mentioned in episode 57, A-1 Sky Raiders out of Flyku.
That's them. Especially early on, they were absolutely critical for supporting SF teams, particularly pulling them out of hotspots in southern Laos. The speaker in episode 57 shares that story about the wing landing.
Yeah, that was pretty wild, meeting Viltus and Vilo right there.
It really grounds the experience, doesn't it? He also mentioned a final mission near miss with landing gear problems, just constant danger.
And episode 57 notes that these pilots, the 6th SOS guys, they didn't always know the full picture of SOG's missions.
Not necessarily, especially at first. It was highly classified. They knew a team was in trouble, troops in contact, and their job was to provide immediate, overwhelming firepower to help them survive or get extracted. They mentioned the Maguire rig, too.
What was that?
Basically a rope and harness system to pull people out when the helicopter couldn't land. Imagine dangling from a rope under fire. It tells you how desperate some of these extractions were.
Intense. Episode 57 also talks about the respect the air crews had for the Army SF guys.
Definitely. The speaker noted their organization, their dedication. It made a real impression. And later, when the Special Operations Association, SOA, formed, it became this important place for guys from different branches who'd worked together, often without fully knowing the other's roles at the time, to finally connect and, you know, understand the whole picture.
Episode 57 mentions some initial resistance in the Air Force about recognizing these support roles.
Yeah, because it was so secret, so unconventional, it didn't always fit the standard molds. It took time for the full story and the significance of their contribution to be acknowledged.
Now, episode 57 includes that incredible ground perspective from RT Georgia. Tell us about that.
Right. This is a firsthand account from 1968.
Yeah.
A Prairie fire mission. Their job sounded simple enough. Check out a 10-kilometer square for trail activity.
But it didn't stay simple.
Not at all. They ran into a much larger NVA force, heavy contact. And their survival, according to the account in episode 57, really came down to air support.
What stood out about that part?
The weather was terrible, zero visibility. But the A-1 Sky Raider pilots and the Army helicopter crews, they just came in anyway, flying incredibly skillfully, risking everything to provide cover and eventually get them out. It also highlights the difficulty of evacuating wounded indigenous team members sometimes. Bureaucracy, even in the middle of a firefight.
And the SOG casualty rates. Episode 57 mentions they were staggering. Mm. And the secrecy extended to their uniforms, right? No standard issue.
Yeah, often sanitized uniforms, no ID. Plausible deniability if captured. They were ghosts. The episode pays tribute to Lieutenant Colonel Mike Taylor, a legendary Cubby rider involved in Halo insertions too.
And the cost for the air crews trying to save them. Episode 57 had that grim statistic.
100 air partners died trying bright light rescue missions for 50 missing SOG troopers. Just shows the commitment, the risks they took for each other. MACV SOGE itself, as episode 57 explains, was set up specifically to get eyes on the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Laos, kind of bypassing the official restrictions.
But they still face frustrations, like needing permission to attack targets.
Oh, yeah. Episode 57 shares an anecdote about seeing a convoy and needing permission from way up the chain to hit it, which was often denied or came too late. Imagine the frustration for the guys on the ground. There's another story about a briefing, basically highlighting how little concrete intel they sometimes had going in, just dropped into the unknown.
Despite all that, episode 57 stresses the bond between the USSF and the indigenous troops.
Absolutely. Deep trust, especially with the Montagnards. There's that harrowing story of an extraction using a Swiss seat.
Just a rope harness?
Pretty much. Hoisted out of the jungle. Again, emphasizes the pilot's bravery under fire. Just immense respect for those helicopter crews.
Okay, another location mentioned in episode 57. Operating location Alpha, OLA, at Da Nang. How did they fit in?
OLA was directly tied into MACV SOG operations, and the episode clarifies the name Studies and Observations Group chosen specifically because it sounded boring, wouldn't attract press attention.
Clever. Episode 57 also contrasted the aircrew experience versus the ground teams.
Right. Pilots fly the mission, intense combat, then back to base. But often, they wouldn't know immediately what happened to the team they just supported. Did they make it? Were there losses? There's a mission story in episode 57, though, about a successful prairie fire emergency extract, close support, dealing with a friendly fire incident in the chaos. It highlights the intensity, but also the satisfaction when it worked.
Episode 57 mentions specialized weapons the A1s used.
Yeah, things like CBU-25, cluster bombs, unfined napalm, weapons suited for that close-in jungle fighting. And it names people like Jim Waldrop, Mel Swanson, emphasizing the dedication of individuals. It also hints at some of the darker, more desperate tactics SOG teams use, like doctored ammo left behind.
Really shows the kind of war they were fighting. Unconventional.
Totally. And things changed over time. Episode 57 touches on the speaker's later experiences during Vietnamization.
He flew night missions.
Yeah.
With the Zorros.
Yeah, 22nd TAS, flying OV-10s over the trail at night. Then, with Vietnamization around 1970, his role shifted unexpectedly. He became a Sandy pilot.
Flying SAR.
Oh.
Out of Da Nang.
Right, search and rescue, flying A1s again, often working alongside SPADs doing joint SAR. And he reveals these secret SAR alert missions staged into Cambodia just in case the U.S. embassy there needed evacuation. Another layer of the secret war.
So pulling it all together from episode 57, what's the main takeaway?
I think it's that incredible bond, the mutual respect between the guys on the ground and the air crews who supported them. They absolutely depended on each other. The SOA, the Special Operations Association, becomes so important later, as episode 57 points out, for preserving that connection and honoring the service.
Even the song mentions SPADs with a loud mouth. It's a symbol of that camaraderie.
Exactly. So episode 57 really gives you a sense of the sheer danger, the complexity, and the classified nature of these SOVFSOG operations and the prairie fire missions. Just extraordinary bravery on all sides, ground and air.
Yeah, this secret war, hidden within the larger conflict.
Right.
The personal stories in episode 57 really bring home the human cost, the risks these people took, often completely unknown to the public for years. It definitely makes you think about what they went through.
And if this deep dive into episode 57 got you interested, there's definitely more out there. Books about SOG, and of course, the Military Tales channel itself has more great content. These firsthand accounts are just invaluable.
Absolutely. Ultimately, episode 57 is a powerful reminder of the legacy of these individuals operating in the shadows, making huge sacrifices in a part of the war many people still don't know much about. It leaves you thinking about courage and those bonds formed under, you know, the most extreme pressure imaginable.